Well, I was expected to be wheeled off in a wheelchair, I guess, in Pastor's mind at the airport. He actually said that to me. You know. He expected a wheelchair. And I nearly went back and just did it so that he could. I am very thankful for the strength that I do have. It's not always been there. Up and down. It's one of those kind of conditions that seem to catch you when you're tired. And things degenerate somewhat and you need to rest. And I've been doing that. And I am also very aware that the rest isn't the only thing that has lifted me up. In fact, I'm very aware of the fact that the rest would not have lifted me up if it was not for the prayers of the saints, for God's people. And I'm really wanting tonight to thank you and to thank God for you, for the way in which you have ministered to me and to my family, for the way in which you have supported us and have encouraged us. There are many individuals amongst this congregation who have made special efforts to encourage us in different ways. And as a congregation, it's been a real blessing that has often brought tears to our eyes and even threatens to do so now. So you'll just have to forgive me. But I do appreciate you and we love you and we want you to know that we value you greatly in the Lord. And you have been the secret of our carrying on more than you know. So we do recognize this great relationship that has existed between us and which is a relationship which we feel like is very one-sided, in that you have poured into our lives your love and your goodness and your commitment, and that you have encouraged us through your continuing on with the Lord and not falling by the wayside. We thank God for that. And we thank God for the way in which the Word of God has gone forth in this place, in which it is evident that God is doing a tremendous work of grace. So let's pray before we begin, should we, tonight. Father, I thank you for your graciousness and your goodness. I thank you for the way in which you have demonstrated to the War family the love of Christ in your people. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, for the opportunities that we have to minister in this way one to another. I pray, Lord, that these ways in which you have reached us and touched us in Zimbabwe would continue to grow, that many might find great blessing in the ministry of the Word of God throughout this world as the good news is published by others who preach and carry your message and the revelation of your mystery to all of mankind. I ask you, Heavenly Father, to bless this time together. I pray, Lord, that you would open our eyes and help us to understand aspects of your truth that only you can teach us. Help us, Lord, to be open-hearted this evening, that we might receive the truth from the Word, and as it is preached, and as we consider these things, that your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ's name, would be lifted up, and that we might more fully appreciate the immensity of what you have done. Pray, ask in his precious name. Amen. A young lady called me the other day from somewhere on the northeast coast, north of New York. And her name is Michelle. And she's married to a man who came to South Africa on a missions trip to do some building of churches out there. And Michelle was a member of our youth group years ago in New Germany, South Africa. And she was a contemporary of my son, who has gone to be with the Lord, Simon. Some of you will remember Simon. Others maybe not been here as long as since 1980, for that is the time when most of you saw him as a little fellow. But Michelle was a contemporary of Simon's and grew up in the youth group and was saved and grew to know and love the Lord. And she was explaining in a long period of time on the telephone, I guess it cost her a lot of money, I don't know, about an hour or so, how much it had meant to her to have had that relationship with that youth group and the ministry of the word in that place, and particularly as Simon had taught and given example in his work there in the youth in New Germany, South Africa. And she's continuing to serve the Lord today, and she prays earnestly for the work in South Africa, having married an American man. And she wants to know everything that she can do to continue the work which she personally experienced in that life-changing fashion in South Africa. And I didn't really know what to say. I just thankful to God for his work in the heart of a young woman who continues to serve him. And I was thankful to God for the privilege of having had a son like Simon who walked with the Lord and who testified of his faith daily. And I was thankful for the privilege of having had the support of people who prayed for us and whose lives and attentions were occupied with the things of the Lord so much that God answered and things happened in people's lives in the ministry and the work out there. These relationships are special. And this relationship that we are privileged to have with you is special. Relationships in the Christian world are often neglected. We don't take advantage of that incredible privilege that God has given to us. A relationship which starts in Christ, initiated by the Father himself. In verse 13 of Colossians in chapter 1, it speaks about the fact that he has delivered us from the power of darkness. Just that concept is a wonderful concept, that deliverance from the power of darkness. But to where have we been delivered? From that we know, but to where? He has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. An absolute change has taken place in the life of a believer. The gospel and the mystery of it is concerned way back in eternity, in the loving relationship of Father and Son in eternity. His beloved Son, you might describe it differently, because the words there in the Greek are not used in this way, except in this place in the scriptures about Christ. It's the Son of his love, or his love Son. It isn't quite translatable to us, but it's a relationship that is in eternity. The Father and the Son, this eternal Son relationship and Father relationship, which is characterized by agape, love. An incredible relationship, which we are privileged to experience, having been translated into his kingdom. Changed, just removed from the darkness and put into the light. That's an amazing concept to me, and I have to admit that we don't know anything much about it. Do you know much about it? Could you explain to me sometime? Would you care to sit me down and say, I know about that relationship, that eternal relationship of the Father and the Son, who before the worlds were created, before the foundation of the earth, John tells us he had this loving relationship with the Son before the foundation of the earth. An amazing thing. Relationships. They're the foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're the foundation of the mystery that is made known to us. There is no other way in which we can come to understand God except through this mystery which is revealed to us. And it has to do but the relationship between the Father and the Son, for the Father sent the Son to die for our sins. That relationship became real with us at Calvary. Well, I have a wife called Laverne, and I'll tell you something about her. She's irreplaceable to me. The pastor was sort of stealing my feelings this morning. It's not right to steal, Pastor. But it was a statement of truth. My wife has been a mainstay of the ministry which we are privileged to have. At this present time, she's alone, out in the Zimbabwe country, surrounded by war veterans, settlers, anti-colonial feelings, hostile political environment, places where people have been forcibly removed, thrown out of their homes of generations, a country which is in turmoil, and there's this gone lady out in the middle of that. Yesterday she was approached roughly by some war veterans who ordered her out of the house and said that she must go, otherwise she'll be defying the country. And by God's grace, she simply turned around and said that she was in obedience to the law of the president of the country, who has stated that a written eviction order is necessary and 7 days' notice needs to be given. But on the ground, the law is despised. On the ground, the situation is difficult, and people take the law into their own hands, and 9/10 of the law doesn't equal possession. Actually, it equals 10/10 of the law. We have that saying, possession is 9/10, but in Zimbabwe today, possession is the law. If you've got it, it's yours. She's willing to stand there. Why should she protect our home? How come Laverne is standing there alone and not here with me? Because if she goes, the church people go too. If she leaves, the ministry is destroyed in that area. If she takes our stuff and the family and moves completely away from that situation, the brethren will be discouraged. And so she stays. And one person might say, well, why don't you just command her to get out of there? Well, you may not ever have tried to command Laverne to do anything before. I don't know. But my wife has a passion for God's people that maybe you don't understand. And she stays. She often is confronted with other things. Just the other day she walked into the sitting room and there was a large cobra standing up in front of her, walking her into the house. And she had that killed. I had a similar situation here. I walked into the mission house and there was a little copperhead there walking me in. And so I just put it in a bucket and left it there for pastor to come and take away. Snakes are not Laverne's problem. There are other enemies. And she has often been in the midst of these. And I thank God for her. War veterans, she's not afraid of. And they know that. Many war veterans have been saved in the church because of Laverne's testimony to them. She goes running in the night. You say, that's a funny time to run. Well, she runs in the night because she works all day and she has to find some time. She's got a hiatus hernia and she's got to run to get this thing to be corrected and not to come up. It has to sit down. And she runs in the night, and she's a wonderful, fit person, but she meets people in the night. Poachers, war veterans, And what does she do with them? Does she run away from them? No, she sits down and talks to them. And she tells them about Christ. Many have come to the church through that personal testimony. They love and respect her in that area. Her name is Amai Stephen. That is the mother of Stephen. That's what they call her. And they love Stephen too. And they take him fishing with them sometimes. It's the very strangest thing that you could imagine. And yet God in His wisdom has given me a wife, a blonde one at that, who is precious in my sight. And I'm thankful to God for her. She helps the sick. She helps with people that die. Bodies have to be transported places, and we work together with those things. She's feeding the hungry. At this present time, 7 million Zimbabweans are on the road to starvation. The farmers have been chased out. There is no grain. We go across the border to South Africa. We load up our truck. We bring food for our people. She often is involved in that. We search for food all over the country. We buy. There's no oil. There's no margarine. Can't buy soap. Things are degenerated. No sugar. If you've got a sweet tooth, that's tough. But there's no sugar. And no basic food, which is maize meal. And Laverne is often helping and doing that. So I want to thank the Lord for that and for your prayers for her safety. And you can understand my confidence in her, for she is one in which confidence is definitely an option. And I thank God for her in this time. And I thank God for Beacon. We'll get back to the scriptures in a moment. I thank God for Beacon because we've been associated with you since 1980. You have supported us and have given to us. And the ways in which you have ministered to us have varied. We've got this home from home. We come here and we're at home. And we go to Zimbabwe and we're at home. We come here and we're refreshed. I sat this morning listening to the preaching of the word and I was thinking how much of a refreshing tide that was in my life. I don't know if you know how privileged you are. But what a blessing to have the preaching of the word so powerfully and so aptly put that it touches your soul each time you hear it. I thank God for that. I thank God for the ladies of this church. I thank God for our friends who've loved Laverne and responded to her feelings for the people of Zimbabwe. One day, we had a message to say that a great big container was coming our way. How many people were involved with that container? Well, it was delayed for 18 months. It was tied up by customs. It was the biggest hassle I've ever had to get something. And I thought, why, Lord, is this the case? Why is so much extra traveling, so much extra money, and all these things that were necessary to get a hold of this container? And why was it that we could only get one piece of it cleared through the customs every 6 months or so? Why did all this happen? And we couldn't understand it, but you know, God had everything in His control. The act of giving, the act of doing and responding to the needs of God's people, the act and your response to that, that is your responsibility before God. And I praise God that you took that. You took the responsibility of ministering to the saints. You felt for the people of Zimbabwe. You went to know the difficulties that were involved. But that act is the act which God blesses. And you know, the reason we are still in Shirugwe, in Zimbabwe today, is because of that container. If we had not had to approach the high government officials, if we hadn't got to know the minister responsible for this area, if we hadn't got to personally know the chief of police of the area because of all of the things we had to go through and organize, if we hadn't known the public prosecutor of the area, if we did not get to know the local board of education to distribute all of those educational materials of the area, We would have been chased off that farm 2 years ago. We were told that by the authorities. You're the reason we're still there. And the blessings that came through the distribution of those gifts, you should have seen the rejoicing of the people when the clothes finally got through. African people have no inhibitions about saying how happy they are. I won't sort of do it here, but they do interesting things. Ooh, they'll do that. That means I'm happy. Thank you. And I bring you their thanks. So don't be weary in well-doing. God will bless the things that you do as you minister to those whom He burdens your hearts to minister to. I want to just round off this brief introduction before the next 16 points that I've got for you tonight. Pastor Ram Chimbarangi, Associate Missionary. Since 1978, that man has been a faithful servant of the Lord. You have never seen Pastor Ram. You've never known him. But you know something? He is a man who deserves your prayer. He is a man who should cause thankfulness to the hearts of God's people, as those that Paul had never seen in Colossae brought thankfulness to his heart and caused him to pray that they would be filled with this growing in the knowledge of the things of the Lord. He's an interesting man. He has stood against violence. He has been attacked in the streets because he was accused of being a member of the opposition, and he has stood the test of time. And now he heads up our mission work in Zimbabwe. If I should go to be with the Lord, and the Lord takes me out of the way, the work will go on. God has a man there. And Pastor Saidi Alubi, who has been trained in our work in Shirugwe, is equally under threat, accused of being a friend of white people, a friend of colonialists, sojourning with Westerners. You have to understand that African presidents and African politics do not dance to the drumbeat of the West. They dance to an African drumbeat. And the African drumbeat is concerned with an African renaissance. And the African renaissance is not the kind of renaissance that you might be thinking of that happened in Europe in days gone by, where enlightenment happened. And it is a renaissance of African culture. And African culture is not a cherry on top of something which is beautiful and different country dances and things of that nature. But African culture is a reversion to ancestor worship. It is a reversion to the old ways. And to be accused of being against that is to be un-African. And not to be a part of the African Renaissance and dancing to the wrong drumbeat. Pastor Saidi has stood the test of time and has stayed with the Lord. Has stood by us in difficult times. Been willing to identify with the gospel and the preachers of the word. And has not fallen by the wayside. Not been sucked into the way of thinking of many people in Zimbabwe today. So that's the importance of relationships, demonstrated in a physical sense. That situation has to be founded in God. If you take your Bibles and go with me to verse number 13 of chapter 1, we read that interesting verse where Paul is speaking about what God has done. And he starts in verse 9, a prayer of his. He says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, that is your love, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, or the power of his glory, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Verse number 3 speaks of God as the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that noun, agape, there is reflected in John chapter 15, where he speaks about this love, this divine love, this relationship that characterizes the relationship between Father and Son. And I find that the relationship is foundational to our own existence. If you look at the prayer of the Lord in the Gospel of John chapter 17, you may want to quickly turn over there with me. When he was referring to some of these things, in verse number 24 in the Gospel of John, the Lord says, "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." That eternal nature of the love between Father and Son, the Lord prays that his disciples would personally experience that with him. That is an incredible truth. The Son of his love, the love Son, the one whom the Father has a relationship which is understandable to us, the Son himself prays for us that we should experience that with him one day. That is an amazing relationship to look forward to. That is an amazing time for you and I to set our eyes upon. Why should we not look upon the things of heaven and not on the things of this earth? Because we're heading in a direction which is indescribably amazing. It is something which elevates us beyond the horrible nitty-gritty of life sometimes. The things that want to tear us down. The people that want to tear us away from the truth. And as Paul was dealing in Colossians, those who would seek other ways to become spiritual, they were looking at the things of this world. But the very foundation of our existence as the church, our existence as individuals who are saved and translated into this wonderful kingdom of his dear Son, is that we should experience that self-same relationship with him one day. And then how that will be, how it can be possible. But yet somehow God has placed us in Christ. And he calls us sons. Maybe I'm going too far, but I would ask you to set your eyes on things above and realize that the life that we live is to be lived in the context of that eternal relationship established by the Father himself through the redemption that comes in the Son. An eternal relationship. One that nothing can shake. Why am I not afraid of those horrible needles that are going to be stuck into me over there? I'm a little bit afraid in a funny kind of way. But they threatened me with it in South Africa. I thought maybe the needles are thinner here or something. They wanted to stick one right into my liver and suck out a bit of liver tissue. Can you believe that? Without anesthesia. But the strangest thing is, well, it's not strange. The thing that characterizes me as I'm here, the thing that I'm afraid of most of all, is that I might not see my wife again. I'm not worried about the other things. Because I'm safe in the arms of the one who loved me with an everlasting love, placed into the kingdom of his dear Son, who prayed for me that I would experience this relationship with the Father in heaven. Isn't that an amazing thing? I wonder how far down the road you are. What is it that keeps you from that relationship? How can we avoid joining with Paul in rejoicing in what's happening in Zimbabwe and rejoicing in what's happening in Colossae and rejoicing in the evidence of the love of God being manifested there in the hearts of the believers? He called them by name. He said, beloved this and beloved that. This one who is beloved. And this pastor of yours who is beloved and I love. This whole concept of this knitting together of the hearts of the believers of Christ is founded in that great doctrine of God's eternal love for the Son. We didn't love him first. He loved us. You know, that prayer of the Lord about helping them to know the love was a verb. And you know, you many Greek scholars here, and I don't really want to challenge you on your knowledge of Greek and so on, but I was interested to know that it was an aorist tense, no past, present, no future. It was a thing that was just existent. Isn't that interesting? It's just there. I mean, it's something that's just unavoidable. It's something that no one can change. It's just there. This is the love of God. It's amazing to me. Ephesians 1:6 speaks about what has happened to us in the beloved. This is the same word, except just a sort of a different form of it. In the beloved. We are placed in the beloved. Romans 8:35 and 39. Pastor has been dealing with this so over the years. Pastor, how long have you been in this book now? For 2 years? 2 years in the book of Romans? That must be very long then, Pastor. You can't remember how long it's been in that book. Well, it's a great book. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 35, we read these well-known scriptures. Beloved, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall indeed? Shall tribulation? War veterans? Shall distress? Sickness? Shall persecution? Famine, nakedness, peril, sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. For we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Separation is impossible when it comes to experiencing and knowing the eternal nature of the love of God in Christ. Are you in him? By the way, this manifestation of the eternal nature of our relationships presents itself briefly in who Jesus is. He is the head of the body, the church. This chapter in Colossians tells us we are reconciled, as it were, in the body of Christ's flesh. We are reconciled to God through his flesh that was given for us and sacrificed for us. Paul's ministry in this world was to make known the mystery, a very amazing mystery. Not just the mystery of the body of Christ and a new thing happening, but the mystery of Christ in you. That's an amazing thing. Christ Himself in us. The Son of God's love in us. How shall we fail to love one another? How can we argue with each other? How can families, husbands and wives, meet together in anger? How can children defy parents? How can anybody who understands even the slightest bit about the eternal nature of the love of God and what it should mean in our lives ever do anything contrary? Setting their minds on the things of this earth, lusting after that, seeking after this thing. Not putting off the old ways, but keeping them on. The gospel is to change the lives of men. To restore relationships, build them on a new foundation. And cause glory to be given to the Almighty God in this world. Churches have difficulties. They go through them. In Zimbabwe, the people gossip. Do they do that here? Do they? That's terrible. They will gossip. But it's not just something I saw so-and-so doing that. They manufacture gossip over there. Do they do that here? Manufacture gossip? Any guilty of that? You're guilty there, sir? Okay. Any guilty of manufacturing gossip? Telling them? This is a terrible, how can this be a part of those whose lives and hearts are knit together in the love of God? It's not a part of your life if that characterizes your lifestyle. Brethren, the whole gospel is a totally different lifestyle. A totally different attitude to life. I'm wondering, in Zimbabwe, how to solve the problem of women gossiping. It is a national pastime to spread stories about people and to create suspicion. It comes from ancestor worship. It comes out of the darkness of the past, the kingdom of darkness. And to see these people translated into God's kingdom of light, you know, one of the strangest things about baptisms in Zimbabwe is that sometimes a person's mind is so filled with the old ways of darkness that you come to baptize them and they go into a fit in the water. We've had that on a couple of occasions. We think of demon possession. We think of one person had some problem, I guess some medical problem. But we wonder what it is that causes them to shout and scream and kick and carry on like that. But we have to get down and pray for that person and ask God to help the person to understand that there's a new relationship here. No longer is there fear. No longer is suspicion to rule the lives of God's people. But when we're baptized, we're identifying with something absolutely new. With a placing into Christ. With a newness of life as we're raised. And then the kicking stops. And the person calms. And they know that this is a testimony for their faith in Jesus Christ. It takes a lot to work it out of a system, the darkness of the old life. But God's grace is sufficient, and we are able to continue by His grace to bring the message of salvation there in Zimbabwe. I'm going to close. I'm going to ask, beloved brethren, that you would pray for us. I'm going to ask that you look and see in the world around you the need for this gospel of light, this gospel being published in a world of darkness. I'm going to ask you to continue to pray, to lift us up before the Almighty God. I'm not sure what God's intentions are for me personally, whether this situation here at the hospital will prove to solve the problems or whether we'll just have to continue with the problems. It doesn't really matter, actually. What matters to me is that we continue to live in the kingdom of light, is that we continue to walk in the love into which God has called us. It's that we continue to maintain our lifestyle as a reflection of the eternal nature of God's relationship with us that He has established before the foundation of the world. That we rejoice in His Son, Jesus Christ, from whom nothing can separate us. I pray you will know this, and God would strengthen you and fill you with wisdom and understanding, that through the preaching of the Word, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your hearts, He would lift you up and change you and cause you to become secure in the faith, so much so that the reputation of your love spreads throughout the world. I know of it, and I look forward to hearing more of the way in which your reputation is like a beautiful fragrance in the nostrils of our Heavenly Father. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your goodness to us. Thank you for the love that is in eternity. Thank you for the grace which called us to know the love of Christ. Thank you for the ministry of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for those who have given their lives to take the gospel to the farthest corners of the world. Thank you for those who labor in the Lord. Thank you for those who pray and give. Thank you for those, Heavenly Father, who are willing to put their entire being and existence as Aquila and Priscilla at your personal disposal. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would bless us as a church, that you would cause us to become famous for our love, that love which seeks after righteousness and peace. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.